Pumpkins and Pals, and there's also therapy too.
Well, we're all here, okay, and I have like 6 pages of notes, as per usual. So let's just get on started. But you know what? That's not even the worst. I have had like 9 pages of notes, okay? So I think 6 is fine. Yeah. Also, some of that...
I was going to say...
Yeah, say it.
No, I was just going to say, like, I didn't feel like... There's some episodes where I'm taking notes and I'm like, oh, shit, this is going to be a long episode. And I didn't necessarily feel that way.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah. And some of it, I'll be honest, is recap. So I'll just get that started first. So first of all, I emailed Joe Beccaro, who is the stunt coordinator / stunt guy for Chris Pratt. Like when he was in the motorcycle accident and broke his arm. And then Dr. Harris comes in, which, oh, yeah. By the way, oh, my gosh, Dr. Harris was perfect. If you haven't listened
it's
to
so
it,
good.
Go listen to it. Oh, my God.
I haven't
it's
listened
so perfect.
To it.
And lovely. Oh, my God. Anyway.
Nice guy.
He's amazing.
He's so nice. Not Dr. Harris at all. And was just, like, so generous.
That's awesome.
Well, and it's cool to hear, like, I think the coolest thing for me was I thought he was directed to be, like dry like
Same.
That and rude. And he just took that on himself. So it's, like,
really
cool. Oh, really?
Cool. Oh, mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, that was all him. Mm-hmm. So I would bring him back, too, if that was his... You know?
Yeah, he's just like an improv thing. God. But you should listen to it because he's from Nashville and we talk a lot about
it.
So.
Does he live here still? Or he lives
He's
over
in
there?
Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Oh.
Which is wild. Yeah. Wow. But anyway, okay. So Joe Beccaro is the stunt guy and his email said, because I tried to get him to send some voice memos, but he is actually, I'll just read the email. He said, I only doubled Pratt a few times on the show and coordinated a couple more. Not much to say, really. However, I will say the cast was always cool and Pratt is the best. I'm currently doubling Jason Momoa on Fast and the Furious 10 in Europe.
Whoa.
Another cool guy. .. Stay safe out there.
That's a big news alert.
Big
Jason
news
Momoa
alert.
Is in
That's,
Fast and Furious.
Oh.
Am I breaking something? I don't
Damn.
Think I am. It's out, right? Is it not out?
I don't think it's out. No. The
well,
ninth
no.
one just
it's
came
fine.
Out.
They're not.
I wonder what they're going to do. Did you see the ninth one? Mm-mm. They went to space. They literally drove a car to space.
No way.
No.
Yeah, like that's the extremes that they've gotten to. So I wonder what they're going to do in 10. They like literally strapped a rocket on a car, like a Chevy Impala, like not even a cool car. Shot it into space and then like they got saved by the International Space Station. Like I'm not even joking. That was like literally
how is this series
line.
Still going?
I mean, I think
hell.
That's
it
the joke
money.
Thing though. It's like how crazy can we get metaverse?
Right.
They're going to go to the
But like they didn't
multiverse.
Combust or anything.
No, they got
they
no,
just went straight
they
to
saved
the atmosphere.
The day. No, they saved the day.
My god. Cuz
they did it for family. Have you seen any of those insane. Movies?
I've seen like the first two and then
Oh
I,
man,
I,
they got out of hand.
Yeah.
Maybe I should
I had
have
to
a...
stop after Paul died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was rough.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
You, just so you know, you did not just leak information. It is listed that
okay.
Jason Momoa is in it.
Okay, I appreciate
And it's coming
that.
Out in 2023.
Oh.
Okay.
And I'm really sad that they didn't take the meme suggestion of naming the film Fast 10 Your Seatbelts.
Oh. Ooh. That's a good one.
They
Who are we
totally
kidding? They don't wear seatbelts.
Missed an opportunity.
That's true. It's just, it actually circles back though because I feel like Tom talks about Paul Walker pretty frequently and Vin Diesel. You know,
Tom would be a really big Fast fan. I think.
Yeah, I think he does. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's how it all circles back is Joe Beccaro. So thank you for emailing that. And then I do have a brief recap from Cooper. Something that I forgot to ask about is the scene when Andy and April come in and try to like fix everything, like when he sneezes and hits his head on the wall when he's putting his record up on the wall or whatever. And the thing that I remember most about the scene was that April and or he said he was answering my question because I was telling him the thing that I remember most was like his hand was broken and it was like that bruised gray situation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how did that even happen? And he unfortunately didn't know that. But I mean, I'm assuming his makeup, obviously.
Yeah,
I was
nasty.
Just, yeah, it was really gross. But his email said he did answer me, which was really amazing. Oh, Maddie, are you breaking up?
Yeah, something weird's going on.
No, I can see you and hear you.
Okay. There,
so
we're hearing
a
like a little bit of
like...
a, like a, not just a lag, but like a little bit little of
like
a mix. Yeah. Anyway. anyway, so he emailed back and he said that, what did he say? The thing I remember most about the scene with Andy and April was that Chris was allowed to ad-lib all those medical concerns, one of which was about wiping and the wiping just never seeming to end. And you can see April crack up on that point. And I do remember, like, she smiles at him and she's trying to hold it together.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That is ridiculous.
Oh, Pratt and his ways.
That was one of my favorite lines. Then I didn't even think to mention it during the interview. That one of my favorite lines from him is when April says, "Thanks for nothing, Dr. Harris." And he goes, "You're welcome."
You're welcome.
So yes. Good.
So good. But anyway, okay, so now we are on to our Go Big or Go Home. This was written by Dean Holland, our love. I don't have very much to say about him because we've talked about him a lot. And then directed by Alan Yang, a.k.a. the bass player in Mouse Rat and the writer of Master of None and all that good stuff. And writer slash story editor slash everything for Parks. Okay, news update. I listened to an episode of Parks and Recollection. Alan Yang slash Rob
because he hosts it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to get some, like, information. And, like, yeah, they don't really talk about the show that much. They talk about, like, little things, like little behind the scenes things, but they're not going, like, scene by scene. They definitely don't talk about Amy Poehler as much. I'm just telling
Parks
information.
Parks and the second best podcast of Parks and Recreation. We are the number one.
I feel, like, glad that I listened to it because I feel like...
Now you feel a little better.
Well, yeah, because I feel like it's just, like, different. We just have different takes on it, obviously. I wasn't in the show. We're fans. So I'm kind of also excited to, give you guys some tidbits that Alan Yang talked about as well, which was really interesting to me.
Oh, nice.
But anyway, and then Dean Holland was also on this one too, which was really exciting to hear his voice. But he said that he wasn't technically responsible for the previously on, at the beginning of the episode, they were both, or actually all three of them were kind of like trash talking that. They were like, "Who made us do that? Why did we
have that?" Was kind of funny. I love the voice. Will Andy and April make up and make out? It's like, I mean, they clearly were trying to do that.
Yeah, to have some sort of, like, funny commentary on what you were seeing before. But
is that the only time they do that? Like a previously on Parks and Rec?
Yes.
Is it?
I don't remember it in another episode.
That's so funny. Yeah, apparently
it sticks out so much to me because of that. Like, it's the only time. Yeah. And I have notes about it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the network requested it, apparently. So, like, they did have to do it, technically. What were your notes about it?
It's weird.
It is. Random.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. The only reason this would make sense to me is if you went, like, 2 years in between instead of the regular several months or whatever. You know? Like, then it makes sense. People haven't watched it in a long time and we need that update. But I feel like it ended in, like, April and then it started again in August, September. So it's like... Mm-hmm. I don't need that recap. I literally just watched all of this. And we don't get it with any of the other seasons. Like, if they had decided that was going to be a Parks and Rec thing, it would be less weird. But this is literally the only time it happens.
Maybe it's because it's so early, like, in the series or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I wonder if it was, like, more of a common thing, too, then.
Yeah, that's true,
like,
too.
With network TV.
I thought The Voice was stupid. Whose voice was that?
The Office did it a few times.
Did they?
Right? Were they making this
up? No. They do not ever do a voiceover like that.
No,
ever.
They don't do it. No, they do not do a voiceover. But don't they do a
recap?
Yeah. They do a recap before, like, when the kiss happens.
Or is it, like, continued?
It's at the beginning of season 3. Oh. But it's after Jim and Pam have their kiss, but it's also happening while Jim gives a voiceover of, like, what's happened.
They did,
like,
a little class,
like, why he chose to go to Stanford.
Yeah, that's right. True.
You know, so it's more natural. Yeah. Like, this is more like...
Yeah, it was very
straight up watching a TV show.
Well, it's funny, because this one is like a random person. Because usually on sitcoms and stuff, it's like one of the cast.
Yeah, I wonder who it was. Right, you didn't find that out?
They said that it might have been the president. They really didn't know who did
of
the
like
voice.
NBC?
Of like, I
or the
know
United
if it was
States of America.
Yeah, it was. Can you imagine? Who was it?
It was. would have been the voice. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, what were you going to say, Maddie?
I don't know. I just don't think.
It was necessary.
It was necessary because the vibe for me for both The Office and Parks and Rec is that you are in these people's lives with them. Mm-hmm. And I think this took me out of that.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, I think if it had been a cast member, it would have been different. Because I'm like, I'm not mad about the actual idea of it. I just like don't know who that guy is. I'm like, you're not in my world. You know? But anyway.
I can't match you to anyone.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't like it. Yeah, Alan Yang and Rob Lowe were like, this is stupid. This isn't going to work. And then another like little tidbit is that the Harvest Festival is based on a bumper sticker that Alan Yang used to see in his hometown of Riverside.
Oh, I read that. Like a church thing, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was like a church festival or something.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
So he just used that. And what was cool is that he said a lot of stuff about his hometown of Riverside, which is where Icetown is from.
Really?
Like, there's an actual skating rink called Icetown. Oh. If you guys Google it, it's on there. Alan Yang's has like seen it before, and it's in Riverside. So if you're in California or LA, you want to drive like an hour or so down there. Like, it is a thing. Just saying. So anyway, so now I have summary written, and whenever you're ready.
All right, perfect. As the Parks and Rec team report back to duty, Leslie is unhappy with the amount of work they have been given. Leslie goes on a mission to use Chris's interest in Anne to get more money for the Parks Department. Ron and Andy take on running the youth basketball league, and Andy finds out why he hasn't heard from April.
Oh, sad.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really interesting episode. I feel like the tone... like really shifts. I feel like this starts like where I really love Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. Like this is like kind of when I don't know, they hit a different stride like in this season, especially this whole arc of like the Harvest, you know, festival and all that shit. But
I think that was their goal too. Like especially bringing on, like, I mean, I don't know for sure. I'm just thinking it.
Is this the first time where I notice in the credits? Well, are all the like Donna is a main player and Jerry.
Yeah, they're all series regulars.
Do they always just call her Rita or Retta? I mean, so
yeah,
they never say her last name? Okay. I was like, is this a typo or is this just like.
Yeah, so her stage name in any like thing that she's on, like podcast,
Retta.
Say with Retta, with whatever. Like nobody ever says her last name.
Oh, crazy. Okay. Well,
I know. It's wild. But yeah, they're series regulars now, which is very exciting. They're real. Jim O'Hare / Jerry is for real. And it's still really funny to me when I think about Jerry, Terry, Larry, because this is like, we haven't even gotten to that part yet.
Oh, I know. Still so much story to be told for Jerry.
But anyway, so this cold open is Leslie telling everyone we're back because the government has been shut down. And she says, I have goosebumps, feel. She like rubs her hand all over
Ron. Or is it Ron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
He was not happy. He could have kept chopping wood for the next years and be fine.
Yeah, totally.
It's like you wonder why. I mean, I guess they kind of say why Ron is there because he's trying to like take the government down like from the inside. But like, why really is he there?
I know.
He could just go live in a cabin.
Like, I think about that all the time.
I think he secretly loves it.
He has to. Yeah. I think Leslie rubs off on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah. I also love that. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, he's also the only other person besides Jerry who's basically in his, like, mini-retirement situation who isn't working.
Jerry's so talented. He can play the piano. He can paint. Like, it was that part gets me every time
when she
throws
that. I wanted to cry when she threw the painting.
Oh, man.
I know. It's so sad.
Also, where is he? I'm like, that's not his house. Maybe he has, like, a retirement house.
I think it's just a public park.
Wait, where do they have Jerry? No, that's Donna's lake house.
I thought he's, like, sitting on a... back deck. I mean, it could be a public.
No, it's not a deck, like his, but it's like, definitely like a little secluded area that you would think is like behind his house or something. But
in my head, it's like his like mountain home. That, like it's like $3.7 million.
Honestly, heard. I want that. / I think that Jerry could definitely be living there.
Yeah.
But yeah, his picture was so beautiful.
I really
love seeing everybody outside of the Parks Department, like what they do.
Yeah.
And it was a fun bring back because April has that improv about, don't you work at Lady Foot Locker, to John Ralphio?
Oh, yeah.
And now Tom is working there.
Yep.
Do they show April?
Not until the end.
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, because she's gone.
Boyfriend moment.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. But also, Tom says he's been giving free bras to the girls at Hot Dog on a Stick, which, A, funny. B, I don't remember having a hot dog on a stick in my mall. Did you guys have a hot dog on a stick?
I don't think so. I mean.
Is that an actual place?
I think so.
Is it like a corn dog place?
Because isn't that what's in Stranger Things or something? Or maybe I'm thinking that 70s show.
I don't know.
Hot dog on a stick. It's a real place. Fast food restaurant company. Headquarters is in California. Santa Monica is where it started. So, I mean, it's real. It's also based in Atlanta. They've got a bunch.
Is it hot dogs or is it corn dogs?
It's corn dogs and fries. And like they wear, you've definitely seen, they wear those weird little yellow, red, blue, and white shirts that kind of look like Baskin Robbins, but it's different. The funny hats.
Got it.
But anyway, it just got me thinking because I don't remember that. And then Donna's being a telemarketer, which I thought was really funny
the rubber nipple company.
Yes! Mm-hmm. That's the first time we hear Princeton's that.
Rubber nipples, And obviously, she's good at everything she does, right? So she's leaning back there and she's just like killing it. And I also love
7,000 rubber nipples.
She also just
are we gonna play
when
ball?
Leslie shows up, she just leaves the call.
I know, just leaves.
She just takes her headphones off.
All of them do, except for Jerry.
Yeah,
all of them are just like, okay, I guess I'll go or I'm going. You know,
I'm a little. Yeah, I feel like we get a glimpse here that Tom isn't ready to be the entrepreneur he's meant to be, because if you're given 3 months off or whatever, you know, your job is out. That's the perfect time for you to be all right, let's put my ass in gear and get my business started.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's there yet.
Yeah. There is a turning point in that storyline. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's definitely, he has not hit that.
He got some growth. Mm-hmm. I thought it channeled Michael Scott at the telemarketing company. That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah. It's funny that they have that,
Except for Michael Scott's not doing a great job.
Right. Correct.
And Donna is just meant to do whatever. She's just going to be a queen no matter what.
I love how the guy comes up to her and he's like, hey, D, you have a visitor.
I love that too. She already has a badass nickname thing. She's just so cool. Oh my God. Everyone wants to be her friend. Why is everyone in the car together?
I know. She's literally making these rounds and leaving everybody in the car.
Everybody and just be like, okay, we're back. Nope. That's not her style.
There's a deleted scene. Isn't it this one where Tom's like, oh, Jerry farted.
That wasn't on these.
Yeah. There's a scene and it's like.
Or maybe it was a blooper thing.
Or maybe it's a blooper. Yeah.
That would make much sense. Oh my God. But yeah,
I love his line.
Yeah.
I called shotgun. Everybody heard me.
I know.
He's writing bitch in the back.
He's so sad.
Yeah.
Everybody
Tiny
heard
little
me.
Man. Tiny little Tom.
Tiny little man. Just squeeze in the middle. Oh, I mean, no one else could be in the middle though anyway. I mean, no. Tom, you got to be realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But yes, now we're at where Chris Pratt, Rob Lowe, Adam Scott, Jim O'Hare, and Retta are all series regulars, according to this intro. And Jerry and Donna still aren't, in the intro. They don't have their own pictures or whatever.
Oh, in the Parks
intro. But they're technically considered series regulars, so that'll happen.
And Aziz was always?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first season was Rashida, Leslie, and Tom. Those were, the main three
characters. Jerry.
Wild.
Yeah, this seems late. Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember when I got the DVD for season one, it was those three characters on the front, and I was like, oh, that's so weird. That's, I think, who they started as the lead characters and who we were going to focus around. And then they didn't really know what Retta and Jim O'Hare had to give until they saw it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is insane. I also really love the Breaks Over Mofos. Breaks Over Mofos!
Oh, yeah. She takes Jerry's coffee and throws it away.
I know. She's
what
really
was
mean
the
to
point?
Him.
I know. And he just goes along with him.
I know. She's like, that's a distraction. Oh my God. Yeah, that was a top competitor for a fave line, but I think there's better. Anyway, I also love that they don't go home and change. They just come directly to the parks department.
It's not the next day. It's
No, yeah. I feel like Leslie made that happen. She's like, yeah, no, we're going straight to the office. We've been out for 3 months.
Yeah, 100%. And then we see where April is leaving Andy. Or no, Andy is leaving April 200,000 bajillion messages. I love the end, though. And he's like, if you're trying to tell me something, I don't know what it is because
you won't talk to me. Which is just Andy being Andy. I love it. I have to ask because there's this comment made by Tom about the biggest pizza ever.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not come back when they're planning a party later? that he goes to a pizza place and asks for the largest pizza ever?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't remember this either.
Why am I, maybe that's like,
in... the largest pizza? Wait, when is it in this episode?
When she's talking about all their priorities and like what we have to do first, and Tom's like, make the biggest pizza ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Leslie's like, no, but that
is
in a
show. Is that this show? Largest pizza.
Maybe it's not this show and it's somewhere else. And I just had a huge like flashback, but I just remember somebody trying to get the biggest pizza ever. And they have to strap it on the top of the car. Is it Jerry's retirement?
They have to strap it.
What's happening?
I don't know.
They strap Jerry on top of the car.
That's fair. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, but there's also a pizza situation.
I'm sure there is. Okay, we'll Google it.
Move along and I'll Google.
Okay. Move along. Yeah. Okay, so then Ben comes in and he has to deliver this bad news. I hate this because Chris isn't even in the room. He's just like, leaves.
He leaves.
Chris is like, it's so funny to see Ben and Leslie. Like, they are just so not like people that are gonna get married.
I know.
it's funny.
Total chaos. I feel
Ben's kind of, you know what? Leslie's like a jerk in this episode.
Oh my god,
it's
she's
like
awful.
So bad. I was like, damn.
Same.
Her priorities are not in a correct spot. Yeah. In this
no,
episode.
And she just like throws everybody under the bus.
Literally, yeah. She,
and I'm
yeah.
like, oh god, Leslie.
Yeah.
You need some therapy.
Well, she and it's like there. If she was thinking straight, I think she would have thought of, what's a way I can work hard to make this department money? I think she would have thought of that first rather than, how do I get them to give me more money?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me prostitute my friend out. Like,
yeah. Minus the money, the Sean. Money.
Right.
Minus the money.
yes. I'll definitely do that.
Definitely yes. But I agree with you, Holly. Like, and Sean, like, and Holly, we've talked about this in the previous episodes. I don't like this dynamic between Chris and Ben. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're starting to feel the sadness from Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he actually likes these people and he actually cares what they have to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like he has to be the bad guy and he wants to be their friend.
Yeah.
And so now he feels...
conflicted.
Like, yeah. And like left behind by Chris. Because mm-hmm. it's like when they first got here, it was like Ben was like, this is how we work.
Right.
And he's never cared before. Mm-hmm. And now I just feel bad because then... Chris just walks away and Ben's like, I guess I get to tell you this part.
I know. Yeah. And Chris has no, I still maintain that Chris has no idea that he's doing this.
No, like, I don't think
he's a malicious person.
Is he technically the boss? Is mm-hmm. he above Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess there is that like, I mean, weird dynamic.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
good,
true.
But it is a dynamic of like, okay, you do this. Okay, I'll buy.
I know. And you now know? It's interesting though, because Ben is now trying to like sugarcoat, like to your point, Maddie, where, you know, he didn't really care at first. And now he's like, we're in maintenance mode and trying to have like this, you know, nice kind of way to break it to them.
Well, you also wonder like how many times he's done this. And then this is probably the first time where he's in like interacted with somebody like Leslie, who's like,
yes,
like very like, no, we're gonna do it. Like, we're gonna do it. I mean, most people probably be like,
yeah,
okay,
that's true. You that's know? Very true. Oh my gosh, yeah, the singing way he does the maintenance mode thing is really funny. Anyway, then we learn that people get upset and throw things at you and call you names like turd boy when you don't have a basketball team.
<It's> so sad.
That reminded me of poop ball.
Oh my god, poop ball, I should have known. Oh my god. Yeah. Then he has to create two basketball teams. So friendly reminder, I just did want to point this out, that Parks and Rec departments do have basketball teams. So if anyone is interested, I did them when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, I did it too.
And I know that a lot of other people do it too. So and they're very
soccer
much...
and baseball too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll have like all those different things.
Yeah.
Lots of programs, and they're way cheaper than the traveling one. So, you know, it's a good way to get your kids involved and out of the house.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Supposed to have my kids in my house. Where I live.
Oh my god, yay, we love her, and she talked to us. She was the voice memo lady, and she's also the mafia lady.
That's right.
You have to listen to yes. Spaghetti and just like fast forward to that part.
I need to
talk
that.
About it.
Yeah.
Sauce on the side or I send it back.
Right. There were a lot of deleted scenes here that show like just how sad slash like disgruntled the community was. Mm-hmm. There's like a line out the door of the Parks Department. And there were like shots fired in this deleted scene.
Begging you, Don't cancel the bird watching classes. It's the only thing that gets my nerd son out of the house.
The Parks and Rec department was hit very hard by all these budget cuts, but I can assure you that I'm doing everything I can to get things up and running. As a consolation, please enjoy this complimentary mug.
There's hot chocolate in there.
That's yours to keep as well, so enjoy that.
I bet you they have bird watching classes in Eagleton.
Oh, don't go to Eagleton.
That was, side note, that was Ian Roberts, co-creator of UCB, and also was in the first episode. He was also the girls soccer coach when they're fighting over...
Ian Roberts?
Mm-hmm. He was also Spirit Fingers guy in Bring It On, which is wild to imagine that. But yeah, I love that they bring him back quite a few times in Parks. I mean, this one was deleted, obviously, but anyway, I thought there were shots fired because of Eagleton. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First time you hear of Eagleton?
We hear about it in passing. We've heard it a couple times, but it has not been as like violent as...
There's not hatred around it.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Vitriol. But anyway, so I thought that was interesting. Bird watching. He doesn't want them to cancel the bird watching classes. Like, what? Oh, gosh. The Parks Department does so much. And then there is this huge mail carton of mail that people have sent in complaining. I thought it was important because I don't feel like this episode really shows how much the community is like bummed about this and how like this is a huge deal. It's not just Leslie that's freaking out. Like everybody's coming in and like yelling at her and freaking out and like, oh my God, this is a big deal. So I thought that was because they had to cut all that for time. So I just think that's important. And then Leslie has all her binders in the color coded moments. That was made my type A personality very happy. And I'm imagining that you would do that too, Maddie.
Yeah, 100%. Everything is color coded. I literally get made fun of for it at work.
Next up, Ron is leading the boys' teams, and they're super regimented and super strict looking.
Oh my gosh. I heard somebody talk about the pyramid thing.
Yes.
Did you zoom in on it or get a copy of it?
Yes, I did take a picture of it, but I have
quite a bit of really funny things.
Yeah.
They were saying like they spend a lot of time.
Yes, no, well that was one of the things that Alan Yang and Rob Lowe talked a lot about on the podcast where like they spent so much time in the writer's room. And not only that, but like they kept coming back to it. They were like, well, what if we had this? What if we had that? So like they're done with it and then they come back like the next time and they're like, oh wait, what if we had this other thing? And some of them were so stupid. But I will say before we get to what was actually on the pyramid, this was based on John Wooden's pyramid. He was a basketball coach in UCLA, and he had this pyramid of success. And so they like modeled it after that. And Alan Yang actually said he felt like they wasted writing time because they spent weeks on all the jokes this pyramid, and it kept getting longer and longer. But I'm going to share just a little bit of them. And then you guys, if you have any, please add in. Because like, there's so much. There's so much. It's insane.
There was a wooden ships one.
Yes. Right? Yeah, there was a wooden ships one. And I think it was just like because it's beautiful or something like that underneath. But one of them was capitalism, God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
He says that one, right?
Yeah, so dumb. And then grooming, only women shave beneath the neck. Oh, my God. So very sexist. It's all good. Those are the ones that I hate, but I get it. And then hate is a strong word.
Man, you can buy it on Amazon.
Oh, God. Really? How much is it?
I mean, we're not. It's $9.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, a few squares that... Oh, God. What?
What is this? Is welfare avoidance.
Yes. One of them is poise. Sting like a bee. Do not float like a butterfly. That's ridiculous. One is crying. Only acceptable at funerals in the Grand Canyon, which he does say in the show. Which I think that the Grand Canyon is so random.
Well, and I've been there, and it's pretty, but like I wasn't like... Oh my
weeping.
Gosh. Yeah.
But it does make sense about the funeral thing because he kind of cried at his barber's funeral that one time.
That was appropriate, yes.
Yeah, appropriate. Rage. One rage every 3 months is permitted. Try not to hurt anyone who doesn't deserve it. I really like that one. That's a good tenet to live by. One is attire. Shorts over 6 inches are capri pants. Shorts under 6 inches are European. I think that's funny. And then the last one that I wrote down is perspiration. Only sweat during physical activity or love making. No emotional sweating.
Some of these are so good. Everybody should go and like read these, like especially in the tiers. Like if you think about it like a pyramid, like there's one tier that's cow protein, pig protein, right. chicken protein, deer protein, romantic love, and fish sports only. So there's one that says
the different categories.
Cultivating a manly musk puts your opponent at notice. Oh, it's blurry. Avoidance? I don't know.
Like you can smell people coming, and that's...
It's funny. Honor is the very top. America is the second, and then the second, the third one is buffets.
Buffets are very American.
Whenever available, choose quantity over quality. That's funny.
I like that too. I had that written as well. There's fish for sport only next to chicken and cow protein and deer and pig protein. And then there's land rights and cabins.
Yeah. Skim milk is on it twice. And skim milk says avoid it. And then the next skim milk said, that's right. It's on here twice. Avoid it.
Which is funny. I feel like they were creating, like unknowingly maybe, but they were kind of creating his show Bible because he talks about skim milk later. He's like, the only thing I hate worse than liars is skim milk. Which is lying about being milk.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what it is. Lying about being milk.
Yeah.
When it says honor, it says if you need to define it, you don't have it. God, they're so good.
That's funny. They're so good. Which is wild to hear Alan Yang say that he feels like it was wasted. But well, I know he was like joking.
I mean, they don't talk about it. He points out three. Yeah. It's funny. They could have literally spent an entire episode on the Swanson Pyramid Agreement.
Absolutely. Ooh, that could be like the episode that they do of Andy being the karate TV show or whatever. Yeah. Could have his own little segment. Oh my God. That would have been so good. So there is also a deleted scene where the kids are in the Parks Department making their own pyramids. And one kid has sharing on his list. And Ron goes, well, I'm going to share this with the trash can. And he turns over the pyramid. Side note, this is really funny. I think I did take a picture of this, which I'll post. But he turns over the pyramid. There's a backside to the pyramid, which was not shown in the show. And there's a yin and a yang symbol that says salad and sharing. And that's the Swanson's yin yang of failure.
Oh, gosh.
Right? Salads and sharing is the Swanson yin yang of failure. So don't have salad and don't share.
And if you do them both, it's really bad. What's the point of the yin yang?
I don't know. I guess it's just about, like, if you do both of them, yeah, it's just failing. You die. There's no, like, balance of failure and not failure. I don't know. Huh. I'll have to record that deleted scene, and it can be up to your own interpretation. But anyway, okay. Then, oh yeah, Andy is there in that deleted scene as if he's a kid with all the other kids, like painting their own little pyramids or whatever. And one of the kids is like, Andy's copying. And he's like, no, I'm not. Shut up. And it's so funny. I'm not doing the great impression of it. But if you could just picture Andy like laying on his belly drawing as if he's like in kindergarten and then being cheated.
He is just the child. Oh my God.
It's so funny. And then the next scene is the kids getting their buzz cuts, which I thought was really funny. And I could only imagine the breakdown that was like on the casting sites, like must be willing to get their hair shaved.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's
scissors broken. My thing is, house.
Did you get permission from the parents to do that?
Oh, no.
Doubtful.
Like I'm sorry, but if I showed up and picked my kid up and their hair was different, that would piss me off.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he'd probably shove the pyramid in their face and be like, well.
On the pyramid. But when they are playing, they do look like they know how to play really well. It's like, he's doing something right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's creating this regiment. So it's, yeah, it can get deep if you want it to get deep. But anyway. Something. Are the scissors broken in your house, son? All right. So then Leslie says she tried to get fertilizer and they literally can't buy shit.
Love that line.
I do too. I almost feel like that's probably my favorite line. It's just so smart, I feel.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's fun, they bleep shit, and I don't know, maybe now like days like you just hear literally everything on TV. I was like, oh, that's so funny. It's rare that you hear shit bleeped.
Yeah, like, that's fascinating. You know what, it's because, well, to me, when I hear that, it sounds like it's because most people don't really watch network shows anymore. It's always Netflix or HBO when like they're not edited.
It almost made it funnier, the joke funnier, because they bleeped it. Like, I don't know.
It's not even that big of a deal.
Yeah. I don't know. I loved it.
Maddie, do you have anything else to add before I move on?
No, my next note is Anne turning down Chris.
Okay, gotcha. I was thinking that, yes, so I kind of, on that same note, the more I watch Chris, the more I realize that he's kind of like an intellectual version of Andy, where he's like really persistent.
Yeah, he's a baby.
And like has no
he's a dog. Yeah, but he's a golden retriever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting that he keeps like asking the same questions like over and over again. Like I get it, persistent, but also, yeah, he like, it's not going through his head like it would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. What were your thoughts? Or your notes that you have?
And well, because I had a note before about the Ben and Chris coming in to the scene here, but I mentioned it earlier. So that's why I skipped down to Anne turning down Chris. And she says to Leslie, but he's like really hot though.
Yeah.
And this might be a hot take because I'm not saying he's not attractive, but I just don't find him hot. Like I'm not attracted to him. Sorry, Rob Lowe. Like, I mean, he's cut and he's very, yeah, you know,
very physically fit.
I can't deny that he's good looking. I mean, when he was younger, he was
like a sex symbol. Like, so yeah. I wonder if they were like playing off of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, but he's like, I mean, how old is he right now? Like, or not right now, like in the show right now. Like, is he in his
He's like 40.
40s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, 40s.
Yeah.
So yeah, because when he goes to see Dr. Harris, he's 42.
He's 42. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, his, I feel like he, I mean, all their, like, style evolves, like, in the show. And right now, he has that hair. Like, it's kind of, like, down. Like, it doesn't look like, I don't know, later in the show, he has,
like
he's
more
very
structure.
Well-groomed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel and like he's kind of, like.
A little hat hair moment, yeah. almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, like.
Interesting.
But it is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't, I don't know what to add to that. I don't, I'll have to think about that. I mean, yeah, hot. Interesting. This is going to be
it's,
like
it's the Hillary Swank thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The question is she hot? Not would you do her?
If you're saying Hillary Swank is hot, you're saying I'm not hot. Definitely not going to be hot as Hillary Swank. Oh my God.
But this is the moment where Leslie has this idea that she's going to send Anne into the battlefield, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And butter Chris up to get
it's so bad,
you know,
so
to get bad. Money for the Parks Department. Yeah. Well, and part of me, so I do have to say, I'm not happy with Leslie. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy that this is how she's handling it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where 100% Holly, you do not align with Leslie at all in this moment, because I know you would never do this. But
I think I would think about also, it, but then I wouldn't do it.
Right.
You might do it yourself, but I don't know if you would send somebody else.
Yeah, you wouldn't put it on.
Oh yeah, interesting.
Yeah, maybe. But you wouldn't put it on someone else,
right?
You know?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't send me in there for that. No. And to be like, and then the budget pops. Like, you know, you wouldn't.
My best.
Like, also, in what world would that work? Like,
I love that her voice, and that was so
I know
good.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
but I also part of this is on Anne, because
totally,
she could have said no. And I don't know if this is just her trying to give a good reason as to why she's saying yes to Chris.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Because it's like,
you know,
she
like this is her in
to go out with him.
Right.
But like,
and this is her rationalizing it for some reason.
Yeah. Oh,
but I just
weird
like,
way to rationalize it. But.
I think on the top of everything is because she loves Leslie. I don't think it had a lot to do with Chris, in my opinion. I just feel like she says it at the end, but I just feel like she's just doing it for Leslie. And Leslie's definitely taking advantage of how much, like, they're BFFs, you know what I mean?
Right.
Also, I think it's funny also, that Chris is trying after 3 months, she says. 3 months?
Yeah.
Wait, three?
Yeah.
Oh.
Still trying.
To ask her out.
Wow.
He not dating anybody else? Maybe he is. He just wants Anne.
Yeah.
Too, in addition. Know. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. I cut you off, Maddie.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what I was saying. My brain stopped.
Okay, well, if you think about it, no, don't be sorry. Because I technically was the one that interrupted you, so I'm sorry. But I was going to say, too, I really love that Leslie is not even trying with Ben. Like, he's like, she's like, save it. I don't want to talk to you. Go the other way.
Go the other way.
I'm going. I actually really like that part. I obviously, in the grand scheme of things, in this arc, I don't love Leslie's actions, but I really do like that she did that. Number one. But number two, I think it just further solidifies, like, from a writing standpoint, that, like, she just will do anything for the Parks Department. And this is a really great way to illustrate that. Dramatic, yes, but she's dramatic at this point. She's desperate. She doesn't know what else to do, you know?
Right.
But anyway, and then this is where that line of, would you be cool doing things that a prostitute does? Minus the money.
Minus the money.
And then we get back to Andy being the coach.
Definitely, yes.
Definitely, yes, then. Yes, yeah, so they're eating pizza on the court with all these, like, broken toys, and Andy's just, like, on the floor with everybody, and I think it's really hilarious because he says that line of, every time I look into these kids' eyes and he calls me coach, that's how I know I agreed to be a coach.
Mm-hmm. So yep. Funny. I think a good coach is the middle point of Ron and Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, too much structure versus... You know,
yeah.
Like Ron is more suited for like professional level. Like, this is what I expect of you.
Not 8-year-olds.
And yeah. And I just.
I also love the parallel that he's wearing his red, like a red sweater. Yeah. Like a, the
well,
sex
he's trying
thing.
To be some. What? There's a coach that he's like.
Trying to be like. Is it the wooden know. Guy, the pyramid? Or is it Larry Bell from Indiana?
I think it might be that guy.
Yeah. Well, who's the guy the that guy did who was throw on his the wall. Chair? Like,
oh, the guy who like, was on his wall.
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight.
Right.
Is it
Look
Bobby
up
Knight?
A picture of Bobby Knight. Nice. I think it is. I think he is trying to like
emulate
yeah,
him.
Yeah. You were right. Sean. Good for you.
Good call, man.
Yeah. Look at him.
Bobby Knight.
Oh my God. Yes. He's got the red sweater with the collar underneath.
And I think there was a video where he threw a chair and that's where that scene comes
yes,
from.
Yes. Yes. You're right about that. Because they did talk about a coach that was doing that. Look at his hands. His hands are all just like thrown up. Oh my God.
What? Yeah. What team is that? In what sport? Is it
basketball? It's basketball. It is basketball. I know that. He was born in Ohio. Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Okay. Well, never
so
heard.
It was just a college? I'm saying just a college. I don't mean that, you guys.
Whoa.
No apologies. My apologies.
What do you have against college sports?
Yeah. Bobby Knight throws chair, gets ejected versus Purdue. So, yeah, he was a college coach.
Oh, wow.
Wow. We're just fact-checking on the fly here.
There you go.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Tom's wearing women's sneakers and they're pink and I love that. Can't even tell.
I wonder if he got these from Foot Locker.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Yep.
What were you gonna say? Foot Locker.
Foot Locker still a thing.
Yeah.
It's a real
I think yeah. It's in malls, yeah. It's like Journeys. You seen those? Yeah. But I haven't seen him as often.
Yeah, we have one in our mall here, yeah. Although that doesn't say much. There's
I bet there's one. Yeah,
our right. Mall has 27 vacant.
Oh,
spaces.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. How do you know that number off the top of your head? Or are you just made
because,
up?
No, there's one day that Ivan and I had like 45 minutes to kill and we're like, let's just go walk around the mall. And so we literally started from one end to the other and half of the things are empty. We counted.
Wow. Yeah. Recently?
I'd say a year
COVID,
ago.
But, oh, yeah.
But things have gone in and out. So I don't think the number is that drastically different.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it could be different.
Intriguing.
But yeah.
Okay, so now we are at where Leslie is trying to get Anne to dress sexy and saying that fingerless gloves are sexy.
And turkey chili.
Turkey chili, yeah. A banana, a sexy food.
A metal
turkey.
Bikini. I just love the idea that she is, like, getting all this information from, like, TV shows or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wonder why she thinks turkey chili is sexy.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
Or banana,
but then I think,
asparagus.
I mean,
a banana for dinner?
Oops,
but
my
I think
vest
the,
popped open. Just like the budget needs to budget. Pop open. And you need to pour it into my parks department. They're like writing the Ron and Leslie porno that happens later
yes.
in the series.
Dung, swan,
oh my gosh. But just the role playing. Uh-huh. And the vast difference, because Anne, I think, does an amazing Chris impression.
Yeah.
Oh, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The way Leslie portrays Anne is very not Anne.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you've got this very hard, like, factual person.
Right,
and then this,
right.
Like, floozy, like,
completely off.
Airy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very, and I think it's really cool their dynamic.
Yeah. Same. And, like, this just illustrates that none of this is based in reality. Like, this will never happen in
right.
a good way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then this restaurant looks really wonderful.
It does.
It looks great. Tell me every single detail of your day. I love that, Chris.
Does it not look kind of like the one that she went on the blind date with what's his face?
With Will Arnett?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, maybe I could see some similarities. I didn't get as much of a like a aerial view, not aerial, like a,
correct.
A
yeah,
wide
fair.
Shot of that one. So I don't know, mm-hmm. But perhaps.
Okay.
And then Chris Talking Head says he loves dates, which is really precious.
Yeah. It is sweet. You have like an emotional moment from Chris when he's talking about his blood disorder.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get to his, what do they call that? Rosebud? Rose thorn or whatever?
Yeah.
Why Rosebud, persons I think. The way they are.
From Flowers for Algernon, I think it's called.
I think so.
Something like that. Yeah. No. Shit. I don't know.
Whatever. It's one of those books. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I thought that was really interesting too because he's not actually being like dramatic. He's just like being truthful where I feel like most of the time you're like, oh, he's being so just over extra, the top right now. Yeah. Extra. I'm going to look that up. Rosebud. What does Rosebud symbolize?
Isn't it from
Citizen Kane?
Citizen Kane.
Yep. That's what it is. Hello.
Because they talk about that in The Office. Yes, and Daryl's right. Like right yes. over Oscar.
Him and Oscar like, disagree. Well. We just have to disagree. Agree to disagree. But yeah, I kind of forgot about this. Speaking of that the blood thing. I don't know. I it's only one scene. He doesn't really talk about it.
I know, he doesn't.
In the rest of the series. You know what I mean?
No. And I feel like he doesn't have too many of these moments.
Right.
And so it's kind of, I don't know, I was like, oh, that's nice.
It's like, true. Like, even when he's talking about therapy later in the series, I feel like he's being kind of dramatic about it. You know what I mean? Or not dramatic, but, like, very Chris about it, not, like, grounded.
Yeah.
You know?
He's very grounded in this moment.
Yeah. I agree. What were you about to say?
I think this gives him the opportunity to address it. So it's not just like, oh, this guy's so...
Yeah.
You know? I think it's a nice backstory. Not that people remember it, but yeah, it's nice. Remember.
I know. Well, and Dean Holland said that too, that it was like one of those great moments because this is where we could have, like, Chris Traeger's already so high up that we could have him like come to a middle ground. Not maybe like below that where everyone else is, but like this is like his middle ground. You know what I mean? Because he's already so deep. But I love that. And then we learn that Leslie is at the restaurant.
Oh my gosh, she's just like
Jurassic
lurking.
Park. I need the parks. I did three moves. Oh my god, it's so terrible though. I really don't like this, but I know it's comedic, but when I really think about it, I'm just like, oh no, Leslie, you're already there. I love that Ben calls her out for it though. I will say that.
Yeah, 100%.
That was
really he knew.
Wait, is Ben there too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just shows up
because he knew that
he knew Leslie was gonna
oh that's right.
He's like, oh, looky here, Leslie is on this very romantical date for no reason, let's see about that. And then turns into this like quadruple date moment.
Yeah.
But not really.
Very interesting.
So now we're back at the basketball game.
Did you just call it a quadruple date?
Yeah. It should be a double date.
Well, you know.
I said quadruple.
Are any of them
because,
really like
who are the other two couples, Holly?
That's why I said that because like they're I don't really feel like either any None of them are couples or actually dating.
That's fair.
I guess
that's fair.
Chris and Anne,
it's a group hang.
A group hang.
It is funny that they all do get together. Like
I know. Mm-hmm. It's a pre-double date.
Yeah.
What's that word? When you are like
foreshadowing.
Thank you. I went to college. Okay. At the basketball game, there's a kid sitting on the floor, just like sitting there.
And I love that part.
I do too. I also love Andy's thing. Are you hurt? Taking a break?
Take a break.
And then we learn that Wendy is there.
I know. Wendy.
So, Wendy. We thought Wendy was done, but she ain't done yet. Well, Lucy is really hot and cute, and that is what I was
saying. Oh,
yeah, Lucy is here. Yeah, we're at the basketball game.
Because Wendy is here. And, which I thought, we thought we were, that Wendy was not going to come back on anymore, but she's here. And it's really sucky because Tom is so hung up on Wendy. And I just feel like Lucy, I'm glad that Lucy kind of stands up for herself later. You know what I mean? In those later episodes, not this one, but where she's just like, you have me, dummy. Like, you know?
She's so much better than Wendy.
She is!
So true.
But, I mean, it's sad. I mean, and I say sad because it be like that sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're so hung up on your somebody. Last person. You can't give anything to your new person. And also seeing, like, someone you know date your last person probably wasn't great either. Plus,
and
like,
be your boss. And
yeah.
And it's like somebody like Ron.
Yeah, exactly.
You think Ron and, Tom and Wendy ever got together like actually
sexually? No,
do they like live in different bedrooms in their house? Because how long did they live together?
It was like 2 years,
so they were just roommates basically.
I think they were just roommates, and they and that's why it was sad, I think, for them or for Tom mostly, because they built the friendship and Tom was always like,
you don't think they got drunk one night
and did it? I don't know if Wendy wanted to, you know, like I don't know. Probably not. But maybe.
Maybe.
It's in the realm of possibility. But there is this really cute deleted scene where Lucy is explaining basketball to Tom. And I wanted to play it for you because, again, it's just kind of like, I don't know. Lucy's just better. Anyway, okay, hang on.
Sometimes it takes some time.
It does. Nothing about basketball? Nothing?
I know it's what LeBron does when he's not hanging out with Jay-Z. And I've seen Shaq's episode of Cribs twice. Do you know he has the world's largest circular bed?
Okay. Well, you can't bump into another player. And you can't hit another player's arm. And you can't grab another player's jersey. And if they do, you blow your whistle and you call a foul.
Okay. What if one of the other players just puts his head in between the other player's breasts?
Motorboating? Motorboating is a foul.
Motorboating is a foul.
Motorboating is a foul. It's so cute. You guys, do you remember in this episode where she's kind of, they're kind of showing the montage of the gym and she's like pulling him close, like taking his shirt in her hand kind of thing? That's where that was happening.
Oh, okay.
So, okay.
Yeah. And then let's see what's next here. Oh, they are all deciding to go to the Bulge now. For the date.
The Bulge, yeah.
Very exciting. Even Ben is dancing.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of like when Angela's tapping her foot in the office at Cafe Disco.
Oh, Chris has some admirers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's that guy? He's in a lot of stuff.
Let's see. His name is David Trice. He has been in a lot of things, yes. But he's in the show Mom. He's also in Big Bang Theory. You might know him from
You know
that.
What I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of a different person. He looks like the guy that does CBS Sunday Mornings. Anthony Mason. Let me pull up. Okay. You know who I'm talking about?
No. Anthony Mason. Anita, what is it?
Like CBS. I don't know. He's on CBS or...
Anthony this Mason guy. Is a basketball player.
I mean,
person.
This is a new, old.
Oh, I can see
like,
that.
You know that guy
yeah,
that like
definitely.
Does like those interviews?
The glasses and like yeah, the anyhow. Balder hairline. I get it.
He's a funny actor, though.
Yeah, he was awesome. And he's been really great as far as messaging back. So I'll have to get us on a Zoom call or something. But yeah, he's been in that. Criminal Minds, Pushing Daisies, lots of stuff. I actually love the that he had the nerve to come over to Chris when no one else did. Like they were all just kind of staring.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my gosh, like, hey, can I buy you a drink? Oh, so cute.
Hi, this is David Trice, and I was in Parks and Recs as the character Jesse in the episode Go Big or Go Home. The audition was about 10 years ago, so it's kind of a blur, but I do know that the casting was by Dorian Frankel and Marlies Gunzenhauser. Great office to go into. Always very nice. I felt pretty confident walking out, I think I remember, but you never know how these things go. And then when the call came, I was pleasantly surprised. The set was very easygoing, and they drove us from the studio. It only took a few minutes. It was off of Ventura Boulevard is where the bar was. And it used to be a bar called the Queen Mary, where they had drag shows. And I had remembered it before it changed its name. And it was a fantastic place. And so they sort of remodeled it back to the kind of flamboyant bar that it was. And that was like the perfect choice. Rob Lowe and Rashida Jones were just lovely, very nice. I was in the car with the both of them, and they were just catching up because they had known each other for years. And it was just exciting, just being a fly on the wall and listening to two people reconnect. We get there, and the actual rehearsal period was very quick, 15, 20 minutes maybe, and then we took another 15, 20 minutes for the cameras to set up. And then we shot it, and we did it in about, I want to say, 4 or 5 takes, which was quick. And I was very nervous. Rashida Jones was fantastic. I think I dropped a line, and she picked right up where I should have said something. And you would have never have known that I dropped a line. They were totally professional and fantastic. And I just remember just feeling great being on the set and working. The director was nice. I have nothing bad to say about going there, except for the fact that I missed Leslie Knope's, played by Amy Poehler. That's the only thing I can say that was bad about that day, but if that's the worst thing I can think of, well then, it was a pretty great day. And I'm just so excited that you're interested in my experience, and I am very happy to be here talking to you, and thank you so much for asking. Have a lovely day.
I thought it was great.
And Chris is awesome in his response,
I know. And this is when Anne starts to actually like Chris, you know? Yeah. She sees how nice he is and how positive he is, and she's having a good time.
You know, that's
time.
The part that, like, because she has a lot of opportunities to be like, you know, Leslie, like, I think I really like him. We're calling this off. Like, this isn't going to be a thing anymore. Like, she has a lot of moments, and it's like, I mean, then you wouldn't have a show.
Right. But, like, but no, I get
right.
it.
You know, in real life, you would like to think that that would happen.
Yes, absolutely.
I think she started to like him at dinner.
I think so. Yeah. When he told her the story, I think that's like, or even kind of when they're sitting down and he's like, tell me everything about your day. I mean, how many?
Or when he said the thing about like how nurses should be paid more and how he just like,
I think
and being vulnerable too is like really hot, you know? And like connecting, I feel like that's really good.
Because that's why I think she always really wanted to do this. And she just like needed like a little push.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was getting out of a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Totally reasonable why she didn't want to. But now she's seeing that she might actually like him. And then we're back where Tom is making all these bad calls as the ref. And I was watching this and I was like, who even made Tom the ref?
I know. He just like put himself in like, I'm good.
So there's a deleted scene where Ron says Tom already has the appropriate uniform from Lady Footlocker. So that's why he's
all
doing
connects.
I didn't even put that together that's what he wears basically the entire episode.
Oh my god.
Same. Oh, I was like, what? But I don't think Ron thought it through. He was just like, well, he's wearing it, so might as well.
Yeah.
But I thought that was so hilarious. And I said Larry Bell, I think, but Larry Bird is who I meant.
Oh, Larry
Indiana guy, basketball guy. But anyway, he's making
all these... He's a player, not a coach, right?
He was a coach too. But he was a player first, but then he became like really
Doesn't that come back up in Parks and Rec? They get her... Do they get...
Yeah, Larry Bird's grandma's at Harvest Fest.
Yes.
Tilda.
They got Tilda.
You got Tilda?
Oh my God. But then Tom's being kind of a little bitch, a little childish, and just making all these bad calls because of Wendy and Ron, and it's really sad.
Yeah. Then he throws the chair. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But it's not that sad. It's just like, Tom, don't do this. Don't.
You're a grown adult.
Don't put your shit out on the kids, okay? But I get it. He's just like, he's hurt, whatever. Anyway, okay, then we're back at the Bulge, and the bartender that serves Leslie and Ben is named Jason Boeg. It's B-O-E-G-H. Anyway.
Maybe Bo.
Bo. But anyway, he's been in a bunch of stuff, and he's also an audition coach, which is lovely. He has a fantastic website, very professional. He's been in Why Women Kill, the Disney show Bunked, American Housewife, The Great Indoors, and he was in an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine as well, so that's exciting. And then Ben is smiling. This is when Ben is smiling about the penguins, like when she switches the subject to the parks money, and like, I don't know, there was a moment when she says that it's cute, or he says it's cute, and he's like, oh, that's so cute, and I was like, they're having
love
some romantical
love is a wonderful thing.
Anyway, and then he talks about Icetown and how he bankrupted the city, and Leslie interrupts him, and she's like, it turns out great and everybody loved it, and he was like, not exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I thought it was really interesting. I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts. He calls it a winter sports complex, and I always thought Icetown was just an ice skating rink.
Yeah,
but like there's
maybe
lots of other
his,
stuff in it.
Well, maybe that's why it was so expensive.
That's why I think it was. Because, like, winter sports complex would mean, like, snowboarding and tubing and, like, all these things.
It
maybe,
was
like,
his
a
dream.
Wave pool, but ice.
Ice.
Well, and I'm also just thinking there's a basketball court and other stuff because in the Midwest, you go through these huge, kind of like in Boston, right, where you go through months where you can't do stuff outside.
Sure.
So I was envisioning this big thing, right, where it's for all the kids to use during winter because they couldn't do anything at the parks outside.
Great perspective.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what it is. Totally. Ice Town costs Ice Clown his town crown. I cannot say that three times fast.
That's a lot.
They were in
Durant. It's one of those tongue twisters.
Yeah. And I also didn't know that the Ice Town never got completed. I just thought it bankrupted them. Like, I thought that they built it and that's why it bankrupted, but it never actually was completed. Which was an interesting moment. But I think he likes it too because he's never thought of until she says, like, at least you tried something, at least you did something. And he's having this moment of like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. Or at least that's how I saw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think they're really good for each other because she's so optimistic and he's so pessimistic.
Yeah.
That they kind of help each other along the series. Right. Just kind of. And she's always more optimistic and he's always more pessimistic.
Yeah.
But it's not so.
Right.
The gap isn't so big.
Well, and they both grow with each other, too. They kind of meet in the middle in certain circumstances. So that's totally true.
Right.
Yes. Then this is when Ron throws the chair. And man, tough look for Tom. It's like he's throwing things and yelling in the kids' faces.
Ooh. Yeah, he looks bad.
And Lucy is so embarrassed.
Everybody kind of looks bad in this episode.
You said what?
Everybody kind of just looks bad in this episode.
Yeah.
Everyone is having a tough time.
Yeah, Andy.
Andy just looks stupid.
Who's pouring Gatorade on himself in all his coaching glory.
Sticky because of the Gatorade.
Yes.
He dedicates the victory to April, which is very precious, even though, like, of course she wouldn't be watching or has no idea that this is even happening. But I just think it's so, like, Lucy's so embarrassed by Tom. Like, I love that the camera caught that look of her being like, what is happening? And this is really awful. Okay, there's a deleted scene here also where Ron talks to Tom about them, Wendy and Ron dating, and I'll play it for you.
I feel as though you're a little sensitive about me dating Wendy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on. You and Wendy had a green card marriage. It was never real, and it ended 10 months ago. Me dating Wendy should not upset you at all. It's like crying when you have a dream that you spilled imaginary milk.
It's not that simple. I had real feelings for that milk.
Well, now you have an actual girlfriend. Shouldn't you focus on that?
You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I'm over it.
Good.
That's funny.
I don't know. I have mixed thoughts.
It's like you.
Like, yes, he's making a good point, but, like, also, I don't know. Like, don't tell me how to feel. Don't tell Tom how to feel. But I do understand that Tom was, like, being an ass. I don't know. It's just, it's tricky. It's complicated.
But I also think Ron has a job here that if his friend or employee is really uncomfortable, at least being like, you know what, I won't bring her around.
What?
These situations.
Wait, sorry. Two different things, my ADHD brain. Okay, wait.
No, ahead. Totally. I totally agree. Yeah.
What were you saying? Something about the
boss? I was just saying, I think what needs to happen here is not necessarily that Ron needs to stop dating her, but if he knows that Tom's so upset about it, don't bring her around where Tom is.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, don't flaunt it.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's true. He definitely is flaunting it. I could see that.
I don't, neither of.
I was just saying they're all acting crazy. I mean,
oh.
They're all
they're all doing
the thing you probably shouldn't do.
Yeah. And not really thinking so much about it. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have this really, really, really cringy moment from Leslie because this is when Leslie is throwing Anne under the bus and she said, it was both of our ideas, but mostly Anne's. I was like, ooh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was pissed about that.
I see her train of thought, like, because I do see it because I can relate to it in a tiny, and by relate, I don't mean like I would do this, but I mean like I can understand where she's like, oh God, I'm going to get fired if I say what I did, maybe. So I'll just throw Anne under the bus, but Anne's my friend. But oh God, that just came out of my mouth. How'd that happen? You know what I mean? Oh, what a spiral.
Yeah, she didn't do great.
No, tough look. Tough look for our girl. Like, that ain't right. And then, well, I just saw you two at the restaurant and figured we could talk about it. Oh, which is still bad, but like, not great. Anyway.
Yeah.
Not that sneaky, says Ben.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that could have been turned in a way where it was like when she said mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been that like, too. That's why I showed up.
Yeah.
Not why Anne's here, but why I showed up.
Right.
You know? Right.
Or like she just could have played it off or something. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? She just could be like, oh, I mean, like we had a great time. And
in what world would that end well?
Like? Yeah. But she just digs herself such a hole.
Yeah.
And it's
and
so
Ben's
sad.
Just sitting there like, oh, fuck. I knew it.
And it's when he's like, uh-oh. I also love this character choice, and maybe it's probably a bit of the writing, too, of Chris Traeger saying Anne Perkins in a sad way. Like, like it's his language and all. It's the tone is what really makes, you know, the emotion come through. I thought that was lovely.
Because
usually he's like,
Anne Perkins. And now he had a bad date.
He had a bad date. So sad. Then Andy is really cute and happy when he sees April. He runs across the courtyard and is smiling so widely. And then April's all smug because she's like, oh, I wouldn't worry about it. I've been in Venezuela. And, oh, here's my new boyfriend. I love Andy's thing of, no, it's not.
No.
Oh, my God. This new boyfriend is named Carlo Mendez. And he has been in 90210, a show called Diary of a Single Mom. And he has a lot of projects in post-production. So a lot of stuff that's already been filmed but not released yet. So we'll keep an eye out for that. He did message me back. So we'll see if he has any insight as to what it was like. Because he comes back and he plays with Andy, which is really funny.
Dave
so.
Matthews. Thank you to you.
Yes, Dave Matthews. He was great. He's Cuban and raised in Miami. So that's really cool. And yeah, it's just really sad.
Majami, as they say.
Majami. Is that a thing? I didn't
yeah. know. Connor, one of Connor's best friend in law school is from, I don't think she's Cuban though, but she's from Miami.
Huh.
I think she's Argentinian, maybe. Yeah, and she says Majami.
Oh, interesting. I would think it'd be like Miami. I don't know. It could be a very romantical name, except for the English version, Miami. Anyway.
Yeah,
Miami.
Anyway, okay, so Andy's really sad, and then we are at now where Anne is coming to Chris, and she's here to eat crow.
Mm-hmm.
Which, have you guys heard that statement, that phrase?
Yeah.
It really took me aback, because I was like, I don't...
You haven't heard that?
I feel like I might have heard it, like, once in my life, but I don't, like, use it regularly.
Uh-uh.
Or hear it regularly.
I mean,
regularly.
You know, what does it come from? I mean, I know what it means, but...
I looked up
where
it originated.
Yay!
In true Holly fashion. Okay, so it does mean to have humiliation or embarrassment after being proven wrong, just in case anyone needed a refresher. So there are different schools of thought here, and it could come from eating one's words, because crows eat a lot of things. That's what, like, that's what it said on these websites that I found. And it also means, since crows eat dead stuff / like nasty stuff, it's the equivalent of something being hard to swallow, something to admit when you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that the phrase appeared around 1850 in the United States, and it's presumed to have been derived from a story that appeared in the Saturday Evening Post in 1850 about a farmer who was challenged by his boarders to eat a crow. So those are the two, like, schools of thoughts, the Saturday Post thing. And then I'm going to go with the first thing about something being hard to swallow. Somehow I'm sure that all mixed. Yeah.
That's what she said.
And hey-o. And yeah. So, I mean, there wasn't like a definitive answer, but we know what it means now. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And now Leslie's talking into her voice recorder saying, you know, her plans or whatever about the sheep. Great. Like, tired sheep could be used as food or sweaters.
Yeah. Tired sheep.
Oh, my God. Love it so much. Anyway, do you guys have any notes about anything that I've said so far before I move on?
Mm-hmm.
No, nope. We can go on.
Okay. The next scene is really cute about Andy talking to Leslie about April. And Leslie says, this is where we get our, what you call it from, our title of the episode. She says, go big or go home. You know, when your back's against the wall. And you don't seem like the type of guy to go home.
Does he even have a home?
Does he have a home? Yeah.
I don't even really have a home. I love that. And then here, like right after they talk and he gets all, you know, pumped up or whatever, he goes back to the shoeshine stand and there's a deleted scene. So I will play that with for you.
Hey.
Hey, don't kiss me.
Andy, you don't have to say that every time you see me. I was confused. It was a moment of weakness.
I'm just trying to protect myself, and your lips are like two poison bullets.
Have you heard from April yet?
No. I'm going crazy. Well, I was in a motorcycle accident, went to the hospital, Anne kissed me out of nowhere. Then April kissed me, which was exactly what I wanted, but then I told her about how Anne had kissed me and she left. I haven't seen her since 3 months. So my arm was broken that day, but let's just say it's not the only thing that was broken. I also broke my wrist.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I remember when I first heard that, Andy. I was laughing out loud because it's just such a 360, 180, whatever it is. You're expecting him to say heart and he says wrist.
He's so good at that. He does that so much.
He really does. Mm-hmm. Your lips are like two poison bullets. I love it so much. Also, there's kind of a montage here when, like, while they're talking, he's passing out flyers asking if they've seen April. And, like, he's pointing to the shoe shine stand, like, the picture of the summer catalog. And be like, have you seen this girl? Have you seen this girl? So it's like he gets all pumped up from Leslie and is like, oh, I need you, like, whatever. Mm. Or no, wait, that would have been before then. That would have been before because he's looking for her at this point. So retract that statement. Mm. But anyway, also, did it seem weird to you that Leslie, like, knew about April and Andy and that, like, it doesn't seem weird that Andy goes into Leslie's office because I feel like he's going to, you know, he sees her as, like, a mentor.
Yeah, there's
or whatever.
Not another
but
point
Leslie
where she.
But Leslie seems like she.
I mean, she just intuitively knows.
Maybe.
But
she
just
knows all about the.
She's clicked on their vibe before because of the cover of the summer catalog.
Oh, that's true.
And
all
the
that
possum
stuff.
When she's like in Anne's bed and she's like, April, if you ever want to talk about boys, it's fine kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it just seems
so
out
they've
of place.
Never had, April's never talked to her about it, but Leslie's aware there's
something going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some interest.
Okay. That's fair. Let's see here. Okay, so, So Leslie's now holding a little parks meeting in the hallway to discuss her plans. And April's like, sees the sign about checking your testicles for lumps. Looking at you, Jerry.
Yeah, looking at you, Jerry.
And she's setting up this presentation for the Harvest Festival. And let's see, what did I write? Leslie has a meeting with the parks people before she. Oh, yeah, I was going to point this out. I thought it was really cute that Leslie had the meeting with the parks people before talking to Ben and Chris, because it seems like in her fashion where she would just be like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You guys get on board with it
at
right
least
now.
It's like if they're going to all lose their jobs. Yeah,
right.
At least. She, yeah, it would be shitty if she didn't talk to
my
them
God.
Before. I love the presentation where it's like when she's like ready, like, okay, go. And then like Tom just like hands them a pumpkin. It's like so like they prepared for this for like 5 minutes.
Right.
And like,
that was the big to-do.
Cling, they play the music.
Cling, cling, cling. Cling.
What's that, Chariots of Fire?
Yeah, it's so good. But yeah, I thought that was really cool that she actually does that. Also, why, I mean, I know we're not at the end of the episode yet, but why didn't she never says sorry. She never apologizes. Mm-hmm. What's her name does? Anne does. But, like, it wasn't really Anne's fault. I guess, like, half of it was, I guess. Or, like, 30% of it was. But, like, Leslie doesn't say sorry to anybody. And I'm like, yikes, tough look for that.
I know.
She's still growing. We got a couple more scenes.
I know.
Left.
You're right. And then was it a deleted scene or was it? No, I think it was in here where she says to Jerry, like, are you sure? Because it was a deleted scene maybe. She says, are you sure you want to do this, Jerry? Because I know you're 2 years away from your pension. Maybe it was.
I think that's a deleted scene.
I think that's a deleted scene.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That
which
was
is funny because so she knows.
Yeah, she knows.
So
yeah,
fast
she does
forward
know.
A couple
she's aware.
Of seasons.
Oh, right, exactly, which makes it even worse.
What the hell is going on?
I know.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Yeah. And Jerry was like, you know, it is like a risk, but if it's going to, you know, get us on the right track, then let's do it kind of thing.
There is a funny mentality really of, yeah, the go big or go home, like, we don't have any money, so let's spend all of our money in hopes to make more money.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They do it.
And luckily it works out. So, anyway. And then she says people would gaze in wonderment at how fat our citizens were.
I know. I love how everything is. That's, again, that joke that I think is so funny because it's like you see so many people in Pawnee and it's like everybody just looks like a complete normal person. I know. I've even talked about this. It's just so funny how that's the selling point and she goes in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like
yeah
a fun
A fun little side thing. I think it's cute and a good idea that this was a festival that they know has worked before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting.
And I also wondered how many years ago did they stop this? Because in my mind, it's like they haven't done this in 10, 15 years. Then she just says a few years back. So that could be like
she said when they were kids. So yeah, I would imagine it would be like 10 years ago. Yeah. Right?
At least, yeah. Yeah. That was at least my well, and the banner that I have hanging is pretty old. Well, the banner is super old.
She just says a few years back we cut it for budget cuts.
Right.
I was like, few.
Yeah.
But maybe
a few years maybe means 10. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. But it is interesting that like it lasted for so long and then it got cut. So I mean, it's like it's nice that she's innovating it instead of like trying to reinvent the wheel. Yeah. You know,
which she could do. Looks well, fun.
Yeah, me too.
And there's that nostalgia piece too. You know, people 100%. Are going to want to go because they had the experience when they were kids and they want to share it with their kids.
So true. And then it's a really moving speech and Chris is crying.
He's crying. His whole face
is wet. His whole face is wet.
Oh, my God. I do love that, though, where he says or she says our whole point is bringing happiness to the people. And in the script, it said Chris was misty-eyed, but Dean and Rob were talking and decided they wanted him to be bawling, like really crying. That wasn't really... Yeah, like he wasn't supposed to be bawling, like scripted anyway, the way that it was written. But then, like when they got to set and when they were talking about it, they were like, he should be extra, which makes sense. I think that's the right choice. You know, like him just being misty eyed doesn't really track for his character, I feel.
Mm-hmm. No.
But they shot it
zero to 100.
Right, exactly. They did shoot it a lot of different ways, like one with tears, one without tears, and they kept going back and forth. So I would love to see those. But anyway, okay. One of my last things is that there's this really lovely deleted scene between Ben and Leslie, and I am perplexed as to why they cut it because it's like still subtle, but you still hear a lot more of like the romantical moments. Okay, I'll just play it. Mm.
This thing tanks, you're gonna take the hit, your career will be over. It's Ice Town all over again.
Well, it's not like Ice Town at all, because when you built Ice Town, you didn't have me on your side.
It's after 6. Are you you heading out?
No, there's still a few more people in line. How can I help you?
No. He's asking what she's doing after work. And that also she touches his hand when she's like when she says last time you didn't have me on your side. Mm. And that was really cute. And then, like, when she goes to help the people at the counter, she's like, you know, how can I help you? There's this lovely shot. I don't know who did it, Shauna or Tom, but the camera operator catches Ben's face, and he's like, with this like cute little, oh my god, she's like helping the people, and she's gonna be my wife someday, maybe. Not really, but it's maybe. Really cute. He's not even thinking that. He's just like, yeah, he's going through some stuff. He doesn't like know what's going on. I feel like he's confused. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
Because like you said, Maddie, that he was like, and Sean, you said this too, where like at first you go into a town and you're just like, this is what you do, the end. But now he's like struggling because he's conflicted and he's like, oh, wait, they actually care. Now I'm starting to care. You know, all these things.
Yeah.
Even though she's kind of a dick in this episode. That's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but you get what I'm saying. Anyways. Oh, yeah. Okay. Then the tag. Chris Pratt plays this wonderfully. He brings April a bunch of flowers all over her desk. He slicked his hair back, which was so funny. And there's a flower on his lapel / apron. Thought that was a lovely touch. Oh my God.
So sweet.
And very fancy.
April, she has some growing to do as well, I feel. It's really sad because now she's dragging two dudes along. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why, like this episode is really like the start of it. I feel like when they hit their stride and like, I don't know, everybody's changing and coming into their characters in a really nice way.
Yeah. This is just this episode is just everyone's a shitty and has some growing to do. Everyone is a piece of shit episode. Just kidding. But seriously, why isn't Leslie apologizing? You know?
I know. Yeah, frustrates
maybe
me.
Maybe she does. Maybe I'm forgetting like later in the
show. No, I watched it. She doesn't.
No, like later in like the next couple episodes.
Oh, about this?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
She doesn't. Yeah,
I guess she does make up for it in her actions, but
maybe they talked off camera.
Yeah, we're gonna pretend it happened.
Maybe the documentary crew just didn't catch it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Like, I wouldn't have even needed an apology to Chris. Obviously, like that would have been nice, but I want her and Anne to have a little like reconciliation. You know. It's all right. It's fine. We're learning that she was a bad person in this. Not a bad person. She made some bad choices.
She's
not a bad
person. She's blinded in her choices. Blinded.
Yes.
You know, she's this one.
Tunnel vision.
Thank you.
Yes. The words are not coming today. We just have to do the gestures. What a terrible thing for an audio only format.
Hey, but you know what? We're picking each other's slack up the hand motions. So
it's
okay.
That is real. Okay. Well, were there any closing documents, things, notes in your head?
No, I just had the one thing I had with the April situation is we're still seeing, I think we're seeing Andy accept his feelings and be like, I'm going to be an adult about this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to get her to cheat on him. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to try to make her jealous. I just want to show her that I care.
Yeah.
And we still have April stuck in high school. I want to make him jealous. Because I don't know if she really has these feelings for Eduardo.
Oh, no. Like
I think romantical it's completely, feelings? Yeah, I think it's completely for...
Yes, it's completely to make him jealous.
Yeah.
And to make herself feel better because she's like maybe really hurting. Maybe they're having a good time. Maybe they're doing some stuff. I'm sure they are. But it's not like Andy.
Not like Andy.
Not like Andy. Ugh. Well, next season or next episode is flu season, which will be really interesting to make a lot of comparisons to COVID. So because very real.
It's one of my favorite episodes.
It's so good. So I'm very excited about that. If you have not rated or reviewed, please do that. I'm trying to think of any other housekeeping notes. If you haven't listened to Cooper Thornton, aka Dr. Harris, please do that.
Worth it.
Because it's actually one of the shorter ones. And we talk about a lot, so I think that was really good. And we just appreciate all of the Instagram follows and all that good stuff. Let us know if you have any other questions. I still have an email for the podcast. It's parkpalspodcast @gmail.com. But no one's emailing. So if you have any questions, please Instagram. Totally fine. Thank you, Sean, for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you very much. To our new listeners, Sean did the theme song. I feel like, I don't know, we've gotten some new people, I feel. So if anyone is intrigued. Yeah, hello, new people. And thank you, and write a review so much. So appreciate it.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Smash that subscribe button.
Smash it.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Bye. And thank you for joining us. Bye.
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 There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy, too.